I can still recall the first time I ever laid eyes on my grandmother. I was 19 years old. She was 96. I was a college sophomore with my whole life ahead of me. She was lying dead in her casket. The greatest shock I had the night of her wake was seeing how much she resembled my father. My father was the spitting image of his mother. They tell me that I look like my dad, so I suppose that means I must look like her too. I think I like her, I dislike her even more because of that. The rupture that happened between my dad and his family occurred long before I was born. To this day, I've never been able to ferret out the story. And now, anyone who could have provided the answer has passed on. At my grandmother's wake, I remember some of her neighbors speaking admiringly about how she went to Mass and communion every day of her life. I wonder how she squared that. Attending daily Mass on the one hand, and on the other, maintaining that stony Irish silence toward her son, my dad. When I was ordained, years later, my aunt gave me a rather large sum of money and asked me to say some Masses for my grandmother. I held on to the money for several months, but finally I had to give it to another priest and ask him to say the Masses. I could not bring myself to pray for this woman against whom I had nursed such a grudge. My dad was no saint, but I cannot imagine him deliberately hurting anyone, let alone doing something so horrid as to merit 20 years of silence. I was thinking of all of that as I was mulling over this morning's gospel, especially that enigmatic final line, "These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that through believing you might have life in his name." As I pondered what that phrase meant, I remembered something similar that Irenaeus of Lyon, a saint of the second century, said, "The glory of God is a human person fully alive." What Irenaeus meant was that God is happiest and most glorified when we human beings live life fully, full of love, full of hope, not stumbling from crisis to crisis or limping from hurt to hurt. I think that's what Jesus was needling Thomas about in this morning's gospel. Thomas was unable to shake his gloomy sadness over Jesus' death. After all, with his own eyes, he had seen Jesus crucified on Good Friday. He watched as his broken body was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. And at that moment, Thomas's own heart became a tomb, sealing within it all his shattered hopes, his grief and disappointment. And the risen Lord could not abide that. After all, Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. That's why he breathed on his disciples. He wanted his breath to fill their lungs, his life to fill their hearts, his love to energize their lives. Did you happen to notice? It wasn't just once, but three separate times that Jesus offered the apostles peace in today's gospel. But the peace that Jesus speaks of is not something neutral. It's no mere absence of conflict. The Aramaic word shalom, which Jesus uses, signifies the kind of peace that comes from being in right relationship to one another. Things being as they should be, like mothers loving their sons, or like priests being willing to pray for all God's people, not just the ones they like. That's what shalom peace is all about. And that kind of peace, as Jesus tells us in this gospel, is inextricably tied up with forgiveness. "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them." Those words are not just about sacramental confession. They are meant for all of us every day. Put simply, it means that the only sins for which there is no forgiveness are those sins we stubbornly refuse to forgive one another. There is no wrongdoing, no hurt that God will not forgive once we are willing to forgive one another. For me, it's clear. To have life in Jesus' name, to live fully and to glorify God means that I've got to learn to forgive better. And that's an intimidating thought for me this morning because I don't know that I'm ready to forgive her yet. I take some small comfort in that phrase from this morning's gospel, that through believing in Jesus Christ, you may come to have life in his name. That may come perhaps means that Jesus does not require it of me this morning, not right now. It may mean that he's willing to work with me on it, breathing his healing breath into me more and more. That's what Jesus' Easter promise and challenge mean for me this morning. I know what Jesus wants from me when he says, "Peace be with you, Bill." Have you figured out what Jesus wants from you so that you can live and love fully?